Hello.
Welcome to Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
We're here to render judgment on the worlds of celebrity, pop culture, television, and fashion.
Strap yourselves in for some hardcore opinionating, darlings.
This is Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
We're Tom and Lorenzo.
And this is the Pop Style Opinion Fest. Hello, kittens. Welcome back to another edition of the PSO. I am the T in your T-Lo, Tom Pichello. I'm here with the Lou in your T-Lo, Lorenzo Marquez, my lovely husband.
Hello.
We are giddy. Giddy.
And happy Valentine's
giddy
Day.
Giddy as a schoolgirl. Well, that's not why we're giddy. But happy Valentine's Day to my lovely husband.
Yeah,
I love you
very
much.
To all of you. To all the beautiful people
out there. I gave him his chocolates last night because literally at like 11:30, his computer just kind of exploded.
And I spent all night.
And he was melting down, and he was on the phone, and he was on hold, and he was starting to stressy. And I was like, no, don't eat that junk. And I gave him his Valentine's candy at like 11:45 last night.
No.
And when I got up this morning, his computer was mostly working and all the candy was gone.
Yes.
And that's how married folk do it.
I know. Anyway, great.
It's the
amazing candy, by the way.
Yes, from a local chocolatier in Philadelphia.
The oldest one, actually, in Philadelphia.
Yes, Shane's Candy. Lovely. If
you're best. It's the oldest
one.
They
didn't pay for this.
No, but they are amazing. You walk in and you feel like you're back in the 18th century.
It's old-timey candy.
Yes.
Anyway, it is the Friday after Oscars. It's Valentine's Day. It is the Friday after Oscars of Oscars week, actually, post-Oscars week.
I know.
And we vowed before we flipped on the mics, we were like, let's not spend 10 minutes complaining about how tired we are because nobody wants to hear that.
I actually get very excited. It's a lot of work, live tweeting and all that, but it's one of my favorite times
of
the year. I mean, because it's great coverage. The people are, you know, wearing the best dresses.
We'll be here up all week, all year for.
Right.
It's also really nice to, from a professional and personal perspective, but mostly from a professional perspective, it's that, you know, we're 14 years into our careers as doing this sort of thing. And each time the Oscars roll around, we are still sort of sought out and treated as, you know, some of the leading people you go to for Oscars red carpet commentary. Cosmopolitan asked us to do 3 different pieces during award season to give our thoughts. And that kind of stuff is nice. It's great.
It is.
You know?
It is great. Yes.
When you're an independent blogger and you're constantly responsible for your own work, there's always the, you know, the haunting idea that the whole thing could collapse behind you because so many blogs have,
sites.
Right. Don't get me wrong, we're fine, but that's the point.
Right.
I feel very grateful that we're fine, and I feel that this week, every year, when it rolls around, it's a nice little justification where it's like, yeah, we're still where we wanted to be in this job.
It's really great because we're getting to a point now because we've been doing this for so long.
Oh, so instead of complaining about how tired we are, we're just going to brag about how great we are.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Why not? Like, we were interviewed by the LA Times and the lovely lady who interviewed us, she's been a fan of the site. She's been reading our posts from a long time ago.
Right.
Since we used to blog about Mad Men and so on. So it's nice because you get this new generation of reporters out there.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
All these people, they are having wonderful careers now, but they also, you know, been reading us for a long time. So it's awesome.
There's a significant number of journalists who have contacted us in recent years for quotes or to do an interview who have started off by saying, I've been reading you guys since I was in high school.
I know, so which is awesome, which is very nice.
So, and yes, I mean, that is one of the most gratifying parts of the job, actually, is to know that there are professional adult journalists now who were, I mean, they told us where they were inspired by us back in the day. Especially a lot of gay male journalists have told us that over the years.
Right.
What's interesting to me, and I did think of this week, I was like, you know, it's really interesting because when we started out, people who wrote for other sites, people who wrote for say the Gawker sites or the Vulture, you know, family of sites or whatever, if we had any dealings with them, they did tend to look down at us.
Oh my God, we used to get emails. We used to get emails all the time. Who the hell you guys? Who do you think you are? You know, you have no experience. You have no background.
We didn't get emails from journalists like
that.
No,
but we used to get from people.
But I'm talking specifically about journalists.
But I'm just saying general.
I'm saying journalists from that era tended to look down at us and. There was a lot of this was this constant sense back then that if we were dealing with anyone from in journalism, we had to prove our bona fides to them. We had to justify why they were talking to us. This was very much a thing. And it's different when you deal with this newer generation of journalists, because to them, we're like this old standard that have been around forever. And there's no question why they're talking to us. So it's very, very there's like a the post-Gawker journalists, that's basically how I look at it. The ones who came of age, took their jobs post-Gawker's ascendance.
Right.
When Gawker was ascendant, it was really easy to look down on bloggers like us as mere fan bloggers and mere amateurs. And we were basically treated that way for the first half of our blogging careers.
Right. It's a mixed bag. I mean, we still have to prove ourselves. I mean, we do have established some sort of, you know, I guess...
History. I mean, 14 years is 14 years.
So like, we do have people like HBO, for example, doing helping us whenever I ask them for screeners or whatever. They're very nice. I'm just giving you an example like HBO, because HBO is very strict about screening and all that stuff,
right?
Because of Game of Thrones, because it leaked all that. So they're very, very protective of their material. And every time I send them an email, they have no problem giving us screeners and so on. My point is that we. Some people know who we are. They understand what we can do for them. But at the same time, every now and then, we still have to fight and explain what we do. And, you know, people look at us like, oh, they're just bloggers. So we still get that, too.
Not nearly to the extent we did 10 years ago.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But so it's nice. But it again, it's still a mixed bag. Anyway, like, yeah, I don't want to get into all the details, but it's every now and then we still have to, hey, we're Tom and Lorenzo, and this is what we do.
Right.
But for the most part, people know who we are. I've actually gotten email back when I asked for something, for some press access or whatever, and people come back, reply, and say, oh, I know who you guys are. Yeah. You know, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, publicists are a different world altogether.
Right.
And I understand your point. I mean, I don't disagree with you that in our line of work, we need to have established relationships with publicists in order to do the kind of stuff that we do. And constantly reestablishing that relationship is a pain in the ass.
It is.
But for that, and bless you, you're looking at it from more of a business perspective than I am. And that's why that's why we succeed, is because you do that.
Right.
From a critical perspective, let's say, I'm more pleased that journalists have come around on us.
I agree.
Like I said, it has been at least 5 or 6 years since we've ever had to deal with a journalist who felt like they were talking down to us.
I totally understand. The thing is,
we've been here so long that it's like, well, even if you don't think what we do is real, we still are here in a market that devours most sites. Go ahead.
The funny thing is that my experience with PR people is that, again, it's a mixed bag. Some people are wonderful. They throw things at us because they understand immediately who
and
we are.
And our publicist is lovely. We should note that.
Yes, absolutely. So we do get
don't know what we would do without you, Joseph.
I know. Joseph, hello. So, but at the same time, you know, every now and then I have to, it's funny because you develop a relationship with PR people. The funny thing is that if you don't know, PR people in general, they don't last long because they're young. They're starting, most of them. It's their first job, a second job. So they usually...
It's a volatile career.
We joke
and
about
people
it.
People bounce from agency to agency.
Yeah, we joke about it that they only last like 6 months most of the time and they move on to something else. So it's a very frustrating thing in general. And I've talked to the fuck girls, everybody about it, that you develop a relationship with someone, then you get everything. Everything is wonderful, and then that person moves on to another designer company, or to another house, or to another publisher, or so on. And we're like, damn, now I have to say hi to a new person and start from scratch. So that happens a lot. It's very, very funny. But anyway, it's a whole different world. Funny and stressful sometimes.
Having said that, like I said, our publicist Joseph Papa, who we recently hired, to take on to help us with our book because it's wonderful. And I do want to give him a shout
out. No, absolutely.
And I also want to give a shout out to Shannon at Penguin, who is the publicist for Penguin, who has been amazing, the whole team over there.
And our book agent,
Monica. We're segueing into book discussion, but which I promise I won't linger on, but it's been great dealing with them. One of the most exciting things about this book is that is the publicity behind it, which we, you know, our first book wasn't... what it comes down to is this is a book about RuPaul's Drag Race. So because of that, it's going to have more interest. It's going to have more of a public push behind it. And we've been very fortunate having both Penguin and our own... After our first book came out... let me tell you something, people. If you want some, someday I'm going to give tips to aspiring authors. But after our first book came out and after all of that was over, for years afterwards, I said, when and if we ever do a second book, we're hiring our own publicist because I don't know how you could do this without someone sort of not helping at your, not at your beck and call, but someone who was working for you.
Right.
There's so much. This is why we kind of wind up lapsing into talking about the book probably a little too much is because there's so much that goes on in the planning of trying to promote a book.
Right. You have to surround you. That's one thing we've learned, that you have to surround yourself by expertise. You know, experts, I mean. You professional people who know what they're doing and they're willing to help you. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter how wonderful your product is or what you have to offer, but you have to package it and promote it in a way that only professional people can help, you know, and tell you exactly what to do and what you're doing wrong and so on. So we do have a tendency. I mean, we know what we do most of the time, but we're very controlling of how we do things and so on. But we have learned a lesson here, especially with the second book, that you really have to delegate things and you really need to accept the help of professional people.
I mean, it all goes down to what your goals are as an author. And I think there are multiple levels of goals that you should have as an author. And in many ways, our first book met the goals that we had as authors.
Right.
But there was a different set of criteria for this, largely because it was our second book. So we had to elevate the goals. We wanted more. And also because of the nature of the book, not just because it was dealing with a specific topic and a specific television show, which there's a certain responsibility in how you're writing. Don't worry, Lorenzo. I don't think people can hear the vacuum going on upstairs. If you can, we're sorry, but the lady upstairs, who is not our cleaning lady, someone once misunderstood us. Lorenzo's telling me to cut.
Go ahead.
I'm just gonna every little hand signal you do. I'm just gonna relay it, describe it into the microphone.
I just don't want to talk about what's going on here right now.
I literally have lost my train of thought. So thank you for that. No idea. Having a senior moment right on mic. What was I saying?
I don't know. Happy Valentine's Day. Let's start all over. I don't remember. But anyway, the point is that
let's talk about Project Runway. No, if you are going to make me lose my train of thought, you don't get to pick it up. How about that, huh?
Anyway,
no, because of the nature of the book, because it was not just Project Runway. I mean, not just RuPaul's Drag Race, but also a history of queer culture and profiles of all these legendary figures. Our expectations for what we want out of this book are higher than the last book. Of course, they would have to be, both critically and I'm not going to lie, both critically and sales-wise. So that's all. There's just a much greater focus. A much more professional approach than our first book.
I agree.
Because we vowed for the last 5 years, if we ever get to do this again, there are certain things we're doing. And I'm actually happy to say that we have checked off a long list of things. You know, if I ever get a chance to do this again, I'm going to, you know, and you lie awake at night thinking of all the things you would do differently. We did it. And that's actually a really nice feeling. Not just that we got the opportunity to do these things, but that we actually did all the things we said we were going to do. Mm-hmm. But that's inside baseball stuff. You don't even need to know. Book tour starts in 2.5 weeks.
Exciting.
And I just want to remind people in New York, if you're going to the Housing Works bookstore event in New York, where we're doing a live podcast, it is a ticketed event for $25. And for that $25, you will get a copy of the book, and a donation goes towards Housing Works itself, which has all these programs to help LGBT youth and LGBTQ right. youth and HIV positive youth. So it's not for nothing, folks. It's actually for a really good cause.
I
and
agree.
You get to have us do our live podcast right in front of you
and
watch Lorenzo do all the hand signals telling me to shut up and move on. I want him to do that in front of an audience of like 200 people. That's what we're shooting for. Anyway, folks, moving on to Project Runway, tie-dye, Lorenzo, go.
Tie-dye. So the challenge was to create your own print with tie-dye, which I absolutely hate. I hate tie-dye. Hate. I've always hated it. Can't stand it. I think it's tacky. Hate it. Even when Prada did it, I just don't like it. It's not my thing at all. But it's an interesting challenge. And some went, you know, and designed something or created something that was just very basic and very cliche in terms of dye. But watching them do it, and then they had a quick lesson, you know, somebody actually told them how to do it and all the different techniques and so on. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy at all because you never know what the results are going to be. You might think you're doing something and then it comes out completely different, darker, brighter, or not the exact shape or design you wanted. So it's tough. And I could see them, you know, suffering and struggling with that. But I wish they had done more stuff that looked like tie-dye, but it wasn't exactly that obvious. Like, they should have looked at what Nina Garcia, for example, was wearing. She was wearing
Prada, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was wearing a Prada skirt, but it looked like a print, not necessarily
tie-dye. I just want to jump in here to say that I didn't love the framing of this, because if you immediately are like, the 60s, it's like, well...
Right. Then it's going to be tacky.
Exactly, because the whole point is Prada didn't do 60s referential. They took tie-dye and brought it back to its technique as a dyeing without all the cultural ramifications of the 1960s. So I kind of hated that they framed it that way.
Right.
I wish they would have said, we're taking this away from the 60s. We're not going to do the 60s.
But some people did a good job, and we'll talk about them later. So Britney is back. She had the Christian safe, so she's back. And what else?
Sergio's delusional.
Sergio, my God. I was actually laughing so hard.
It's not that I've never seen. Actually, we talked about this. He's like Wendy Pepper. It's just been so long since I've seen someone on reality television who is that unself-aware.
He was like, I feel like the judges are afraid of me. What?
Because my work is so beautiful and I'm taking on all these difficult topics. And I'm like, wow.
I know.
Wow.
He was like, not only am I, when you start a sentence like that, not only am I putting out beautiful clothes, but I'm taking on such difficult topics.
I mean, we just spent 10 minutes bragging about what great bloggers we are. So maybe we should shut up. But even so, it's just,
he's
not listening to any of the critiques.
No. And then he called his boyfriend or partner, husband, something, and it was the same level of delusion. The partner or husband was like, "Oh, you're gonna do wonderful things. You know, you're gonna change the world."
That's what you say to your husband.
No.
That's not weird.
No, I would never say that.
But
to
when you talk
gonna
about
change
yourself
the world?
That no. way, it's like, "Oh, Jesus, buddy, come on, dial it back just a little bit." And the thing is, he constantly talks about these issues that he brings up. He only talks about it in terms of how it makes him look talking about them. He shows no real passion for any of this political, social stuff he's talking about. Every single time he talks about it, it's about what it says about him as a person and as a designer, which is instantly makes it completely suspect.
Right.
Anyway.
It was interesting. I didn't know, for example, that there is a different technique to dye cotton and silk, the hot water and the cold water thing. That was interesting. I'm always like, you know, willing to learn new things. I dye a lot of stuff because I have a ton of stuff that I love so much, and they get faded, and I dye them again. Anyway, but it was interesting. It was nice to know also that Nancy helped she used to do a lot of tie-dye, like scarves and stuff, right? Remember for the refugee women in Philadelphia, some association or foundation. I thought that was lovely. That's the part I like, when they let them speak a little more about what they do, their inspirations, their lives, and so on, because it adds so much to what they're doing. Otherwise, you're just looking at, you know, characters on TV. Leslie Jones, guest judge, she is hilarious. And the thing is, she really loves fashion. She can talk about fashion. We've seen her many times at Christian Siriano shows. She's very, very funny. I mean, she's loud and funny. You can hear her.
Right.
You know, anyway, so it was nice to have her as a guest judge. What else? I think that's it. Oh, it was a flash sales challenge, which means that they were going to sell the garment, which always limit, you know, what you can do, because
right.
you can't do something very intricate because they're not going to be able to reproduce. But anyway, so that's that. That's pretty much that about the episode. I thought it was nice. The sleepover, it was kind of cute and nice.
A little gimmicky.
I know, but they actually, you know, they were so tired that they were kind of like just laughing, having
well,
a good
I think
time.
The fact that they were so tired showed up in the results on the runway. That was the gimmick. We're going to wear them out so they
right,
make
right,
some
right.
really totally wackadoo fashion.
But I thought some people did.
I think
a
few of them did
job,
well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But most of them turned out some really weird looking crap, even the ones that were safe.
Right.
But we'll get to the runway
we'll
in a
get
bit.
To the runway.
I don't have anything else to say
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was a pleasant episode. But I don't have anything else to say about, you know, Jeffrey is a sweetheart, but I did have to laugh because I was like, if he wasn't doing well in this competition, I would be seriously worried about his
yes.
mental
uh-huh.
health, because he just is oh constantly God. On the verge of tears. It's just that I think the exhaustion and this, I don't mean his general mental health. I mean his
right.
mental health going through this gauntlet. Some people really, it's a lot for them going through a project runway season. Some of them skate on through and they have a lot of fun. But for some people, you can tell it's like, oh, this is putting a lot of stress on them.
Well,
and he's fortunate and lucky and, well, he's talented. But it's good that he's doing well, because otherwise I think he would be an utter collapsing mess.
I agree.
Wasn't.
Same thing with Victoria.
She is
oh my God,
a mess. She's
about,
an absolute, yeah. the last three episodes, she's been such a mess that I was like, okay, I don't care what the judges are seeing in you. If you don't pull your shit together, it is time for you to go.
Right, but she's not going to go anywhere because she's good drama. They're going to keep her until the finale.
I don't have a problem with how things shook out with who went home this week, because we'll
right.
get to why.
Right.
Even though I think she was a likely contender herself.
I agree.
I don't have anything else to say about generally, you know.
No. In general, I think they're doing a very good job in terms of establishing what type of challenges they should have.
It's
I think,
a pleasant season. I like the designers.
Right, I agree.
I have nothing
and,
bad to say about
and
it.
And
really.
every single challenge I like. I was like, oh, that's a great idea. That's a good idea. The tie-dye is a good idea. It's not my thing, but it's a good idea. I wish they did a wedding dress. I'm always waiting for the wedding dress.
Underlining all of this is it's a good season, but the show is probably not as fresh as it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an exciting season, and I think some of that is casting. Anyway,
I don't know what's going to happen after this season. Listen, I go to the press page. I go to, you know, collect the pictures and all that. And I just don't see a lot of activity, a lot of buzz around the show anymore. Even when I'm on Twitter, I just don't see a lot of activity talking about the show, which makes me sad. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't come back for another season. We'll see. Anyway.
Anyway, would you like to get to the runway?
Yes, so let's get to the runway. First one is Nancy.
Nancy. Perhaps this was slightly overpraised.
I mean,
she finally found the way to do those pants that looks high fashion, and
right.
I'll grant you that.
She always has those pants. We know that. It's kind
but
of the same.
But they look great in silk.
But they look great in silk. And also, I think she had a phenomenal print. She did a great job.
She obviously knows how to dye.
Yes. She has experience, as I mentioned. She does that a lot in Philadelphia.
Chic.
It looked very elegant. It didn't look like, immediately didn't look like tie dye
no,
to me.
But it's not much of a design. She tied a scarf around her and called it
right.
a top.
As the judge mentioned, the pants are great, but the top is unresolved. It's a little, there's a lot of fabric around her body, but not really a design.
Yeah.
And they complain about that, and I agree with them.
Next up is Sergio.
Next one is Sergio. Listen. Go ahead. You can go. Well, we need to explain what it is.
Oh, right. Sergio's is like a 1950s cocktail dress.
What a surprise.
In a yellow tie-dye and a yellow ombre. The thing is, I really needed him to stand up there and explain it and show what he had done, because first impression on screen is very underwhelming. The both the print itself doesn't register that much. It's a yellow on white print. And the dress comes off very simple. This is very true of Sergio's work, is that he produces very simple garments with somewhat elaborate construction. He, in other words, he overthinks them, which is very typical of him. I will say he deserved the praise he got on this. The seaming on that skirt was beautiful. The dye job he did, while probably way too subtle for television, I could tell the judges were completely in love with it.
I have to say it's an elegant dress.
It's elegant.
But it's a very basic design. And again, he does the 50s, you know, kind of silhouette, the full skirt and all that. As you said, before he explained, I was like, this is just a very basic design. There's nothing there. I did see the ombre effect, but that was about it. But when he actually opened the dress, opened the panels, and I think there were like 12 panels. So, you know, together, it was a lot of work. You could see there was a lot of work. The ombre effect and the fanny technique, the skirt was beautiful. All that looked great, and, you know, especially on the runway. So I could see all that. I wish the tie-dye job was a little darker because, as you said, we couldn't see, but maybe in person looked amazing. Anyway, so it was, you know, I can see as one of the best. And why the judge.
Next up is Victoria with this utter disaster.
My God,
this
Victoria.
Kitchen curtain blouse. I mean, I don't even know what's going on here. Well, it's a blouse and a pair of jeans. She's wearing a skirt. It all looks like curtains. I don't know. Oh, the jeans have shorts over them. Whole thing. She should have gone home. It was so awful.
It's a top with sort of a train on the back. Or I mean, no, it's just crazy.
It just looks like curtains.
Yeah, it's a crazy top, sort of pleated with ruffle. Some ruffle effect going on, and then the horrific pants, denim pants that with horrible
denim
buttons,
diaper over it,
and those buttons. I mean, everything is horrible.
Everything
about
was
the pants.
Bad,
terrible. Looked horrible. The judges hated it, and
I understand why the person. Oh, I mean, Delvin went home, and I do understand why he went home in comparison. But Jesus, this was awful. The only argument in favor of her not going home is simply that, well, she tried something. It was at least out there as a design, which the entire history, no matter who has been sitting in that chair, whether it was Michael Kors and Heidi Klum on the other side of Nina, the entire history of Project Runway has been, we'll take the designer who took a risk over the designer who did something safe.
Right.
You can talk about, you can complain, and we have, about the inconsistent judging on the show, but they've always been very consistent about that, where they have rewarded the wackadoo shit over the boring shit every time.
And I can't understand
because
that.
It's a design competition.
Right.
Okay, next up is Marquise. And God, this was awful. I was shocked he was safe because Christian called it right out. It was this ice skating costume with a pair of sneakers.
And very odd. Right.
Swiss dot sleeves and just odd.
I thought it was an interesting combination, dot and the tie-dye. I thought it was, I could see the potential there, but it's not great, and it's too short.
Thick white trim, just no. The ruffled tiered skirt, too many different ideas, and none of them really went with each other.
And the judges kept going on about the sneakers, and when you know they're talking about the sneakers or the accessories,
which he pulled off a wall.
It's because, you know, they don't have anything to say about the design.
Next up is Delvin. And as
Delvin,
I said,
my God, yeah.
I mean, this looks like a house dress. This is so basic, it's not even funny. And I didn't even realize until it was pointed out this episode how he has basically just sent very basic separates, pantsuits, very retail, you know, specific sort of looks that do not look high fashion.
The thing with Delvin
at all
is that he struggles so much in his head. There's all this thinking behind whatever he does. But the results are very basic. And
he talks about his garment like it's couture, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, it's a house dress. There's no such thing as a house dress anymore.
The tie-dye is horrible. The colors are wrong. I agree. They're just not great colors. And it's a very basic dress. Totally. I mean, there's nothing there.
It's not sophisticated. It's not high fashion. The shape is boring and kind of unflattering to his model. There's just nothing to recommend it.
There.
And he relies a lot on his technical skills to get him through. And the judges did praise him for them. But this was a mess. That garment was an absolute mess.
Right.
Next up is Brittany. Again, kind of can't believe this one was safe. Because what the hell is going on there? Let me describe. It's like this bubblegum confection cotton candy dress. Pink and blue and purple tie-dye on a white background with these puffy sleeves that look like they are tied on to the dress with ribbon or she tied on to her with
she likes just, that type of
it's
sleeve.
So dull.
She does that a lot. There's a lot. There's too many elements, I think. She said she did her signature straps.
I didn't know that was a signature.
That's what she calls them. And there are too many straps going on here. Right. And then with the sleeves, she always does. It's complicated sleeves. They're usually puffy and just kind of open with cutouts and stuff. It's just too much going on. I do kind of like the print, but there's when your eye is all over the place, I mean, you just... You know, there's just too much there.
Right. Next up is Jeffrey, which I'm glad it won because he was the clear winner. And here's why. You can look at the women judges responding to this dress with, oh, my God, I want to wear that so bad. All of them. And the way they responded to Sergio, which is, wow, your technique is really fascinating and I really appreciate it. Sergio does interesting things with his design, but he does not make clothes that make people feel something.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that Jeffrey is very, very good at. His clothes make you feel something. I am starting to believe he's the one who's going to win it all.
He's probably going to win, yes, yeah.
Because to me, this was the week where it all sort of solidified for me. And I was like, yeah, you know, I haven't loved every single thing, but he really does make you feel something about his clothing. Go ahead.
It's a long sleeve dress.
Maxi.
With a maxi dress with a high slit and a plunging neckline and then some orange trimming and straps.
And that does not do it justice as a description.
Tie-dye is absolutely gorgeous. It looks like fabric. You can't even tell what it is
Looks like expensive fabric.
I go back and forth on the straps. Sometimes I look at it and I don't think it's necessary. But then again, I looked at it again and I was like, you know what? That's a nice touch.
Fetish wear clearly inspires his work a lot.
But
that's how you do high fashion fetish wear. And it doesn't look like fetish wear.
It's refined. It's elevated, as the judges said. The silhouette is gorgeous. She walked and she looks absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, he did have the spectacular model who was clearly right for the dress.
Leslie Jones was hysterical. She's like, girl, take that dress off. Yeah. That's mine.
But bottom line is Sergio made a very pretty dress that was technically quite impressive. And Jeffrey made a dress that every woman looking at it was like, holy cow, I want to wear that so bad.
For a split second, I thought they were going to give it to Sergio because it's easier to produce, but I guess not.
Not with that seaming.
With all that seaming and panels, now that I think about it. So Jeffrey obviously deserved to win, and he won, and they were able to make the dress. I went to the Bravo site, and I saw the dress. It looks exactly the same, which is rare. The tie-dye job, it's a little lighter than his actual dress. So you can see more, which I prefer his version. You let us know in the comment section, but I prefer his version, which is darker, and you can't really see the tie-dye job. Anyway, but I'm happy he won. I did think Delvin needed to go home.
I did too. It was time. Although, if Victoria has another week like this, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
I agree.
She is completely losing it every single week over these challenges. And everybody else is just like, I didn't really see anybody struggling to the extent that she was. Even though Delvin realized that he wasn't doing his best work, she is just, every single challenge to her is like, oh my God, this isn't what I do. And blah, blah, blah.
She's
like,
very dramatic. She hates everything. She has a very specific, I don't know, she has a very small source of things she can work with.
I agree. She just melts down every time you ask her to do something she hasn't done before.
She's not very open to new ideas and new things. If it's not what she usually does, then she's like, oh, I can't do this, I hate this, oh my God, this is not gonna work, and so on.
It took me a while to come around to Jeffrey. I thought he was early on, I thought he was a little gimmicky, and I just wasn't. I joked about this. I was like, I have to get rid of my own preconceptions about guys that look like that, you know, great bodies who walk around with their shirts off all the time. But it turns out he's not the attention whore I thought he was. He's a very sweet guy, and he clearly puts a lot of feeling into his clothing because, like I said, his clothes make people feel things.
Right.
And that's always going to put someone ahead of the pack on Project Runway.
Yeah, and I think Nancy, I think she did a good job this episode.
I don't mean to discount Nancy. I think she's an interesting designer.
Yes,
I think
yes.
She does interesting textile work. And when she tells stories about what she does with her, you know, her own story is fascinating. But I don't see her as what Project Runway is looking for. We'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if she made it into the finals, if she wound up doing a collection, because one of the things the Project Runway always goes for is a bunch of final collections that are all very distinct from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she will be the one that will bring the sort of 60s-esque volume and all,
exactly.
And boho and all that sort of, and her love of textiles. So I can see why they might want her in the finale. Just to see a collection from her.
I would send Brittany and Marquise home, and I would have a final, you know, episode with Sergio, Nancy, and Jeffrey.
Well, they said there's going to be four collections,
so
it'll be Brittany.
Hopefully Brittany, yeah.
The Siriano save, they're not going to get rid of her because then slaps Siriano in the face. So she's in it to the end.
Wow,
oh, yes. You got to look at the policy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
They're not going to. I think it was the same thing with the Tim Gunn save. Everybody he saved went on to the finale because they weren't going to tell Tim Gunn.
It's a story to tell.
Screw that one up. Yeah. Although I could very much be wrong about that. One thing that I'm actually a little scared of. Going into our book tour is people thinking that we know every bit of minutia about RuPaul's Drag Race history, because we don't, nor do we know everything about Project Runway history.
No.
That stuff is not filed away anymore like it used to be. And I don't. So maybe Tim Gunn, maybe they did send a Tim Gunn save home, but in my memory, it always seems
it's not like how it used to be. In the past,
we were fan bloggers.
And we used to get emails all the time from people who knew something and was like, oh, guys, I just want to tell you this is what really happened. I know the design and this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. We had all that gossip going on that it's just not happening anymore.
I mean, we talked about this where we were like, God, are we going to be on tour for the book and people are going to be like, who, what's your favorite lip sync or what was your favorite read of all time?
Right.
Which I'm sure we can answer. We can give you answers because we've been blogging the show for 11 years. But we don't have like this file cabinet full of RuPaul's Drag Race facts, nor do we have. If you asked me to name everybody who won Project Runway, I could not do it.
No, I can't.
I would
remember.
Have
I don't
to seriously.
Remember.
No, I probably couldn't do it.
No, I don't remember.
There's one I'm thinking of. I can picture her, but I cannot remember her name at all. Yeah. No, I'm not going to guess. There's just too many of them. And we've covered. There's almost 60,000 Tom and Lorenzo posts. I just want to put that out there. 60,000 over 14 years.
So. No, my mind is still stuck in season 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yes.
After that, season 4 is Christian Siriano and
I thought that was 3. Is that 4?
Yeah, that's 4. Season 3 was Laura Bennett and Jeffrey.
There you
and
go.
You know that. And then season 4 was Christian and Jack McEnroth and, you know, that crowd. After that, it starts getting super hazy. Like, what season is Gretchen in? I don't know. I can't even remember. 7,
I don't
8,
remember.
Something
yeah.
like that. And then you get into 9, 10, 11, 12. No idea. Dimitri, yeah, that's someone who won at one point. it goes to an evolution where at now the people who are consistently reading or following our Project Runway coverage basically have more knowledge about the show than we do because they're looking at it from a fan perspective. I don't mean that in a diminishing way. I mean it in a respectful way. A fan will catalog all that
stuff
and hold on to all that stuff. And I couldn't even tell you who won Project Runway 3 seasons ago. You'd have to remind me.
Well, some people reply to us every now and then. I mean, on Twitter, and they're still real fans. I mean, they're still hardcore fans of
Project Runway. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. They know
keep
everything.
That show alive.
Yes.
That's why I wish Blogging Project Runway, the fan blog, was still around.
I know. They stopped blogging about
it. Because fan blogging is a lot of work.
If
there's no payoff, then after several years, you have to wonder, why am I doing this? This was why we went pro, because we were like, well, if we want to keep doing this, we have to earn money. We can't just do it on the side.
And we have to do other things. You can't just be... Yeah, it's not like the old days when you could focus on one show or one thing. You can't do that anymore.
No.
Things change all the time. And
yep.
We're very aware of that.
Always moving forward.
Yes, that's what life's about. Yes.
Okay, and in that vein, we'll be back here next week with more opinions about everything that crosses our eyes and our desks. Until then, thank you once again for all your support.
Yes,
we really do appreciate
much.
Love you. Mean it. Have a lovely Valentine's Day. love yourself. Don't worry about whether or not the correct people are sending you flowers or anything like that. I think it's largely a bullshit day, but I do think it's a moment to take yourself and appreciate yourself. Honestly, I do.
Yeah.
So anyway, love you, mean it, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.